You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin, live from the Civic Media Studios, this is Mino and the Mayor. Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive. And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt. Oh, you know what I mean.
Happy anniversary, John.
Hey, welcome back. I'm sorry, Brian. I'm sorry you had to see this.
I had a. He hey, always brings up stuff. Right. It's like, you know, okay, I spilt the milk. I'll admit it. But let's get over it. Johnny no, doesn't let that happen.
I was going to host an event one time, which is a very prestigious event that you were a part of.
In 19.
Okay.
Two, no. No, it was 2004, 5, 6, 7.
And his little lackey, Chad, said, oh, the mayor thinks he should host this instead of you.
Oh, yeah. Really?
No, I did. That's not really how it happened. That's how it happened, but that's not really the behind the
scenes.
That's
how it happened, but that's not really.
That is what happened, but thank you, Todd.
It was like, oh, this isn't a big deal. Mino can do it. Well, then after a couple weeks.
Then he saw publicity. The TV stations were coming to him.
It became a big deal. And yeah. It got caught on because it was military a little bit. And I didn't do that. I did not tell. I just want to say, and I swear to God, I did not tell Chad to do that. He called. He goes, look, you need to do this event. And I'm like, fine. I'm going to be there anyway. But then he called John.
He calls me and says, the mayor thinks he should handle this instead of you.
Kind of threw me under the bus.
It's too big of an event for you.
But the ends justified the means, so yeah. We're there. Anyway, we were both there, but I did more talking.
Brent Rubel, how are you doing, buddy? Scholarship Incorporated, you've gotten so many kids.
College ready. That's my bad.
I'm so sorry.
It's hard. It's hard.
But what I'm saying is, when we were at your event last summer.
Great.
Just seeing the families, how excited, how proud they were of their kids getting those scholarships. That was really something special. I'm not BSing you.
That was cool.
Yeah, no, it's every year it's awesome to see the parents and how proud they are of their students and the students to walk across the stage, get their scholarship. And, you know, we're talking about 100 students locally, Brown County, Door County, that get that. And, yeah, it's just always gratifying just to see how excited and
you
happy
gotta feel
they are.
Good about that. I mean, you're changing people's lives.
Oh man.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, it's not me. I mean, I just work in the background.
Well, I know, but
it's
you
our
know what
donors,
I mean,
our supporters. Yeah.
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 So do the students who they apply, obviously. Mm-hmm. Do they have a college picked out? Is it I'm gonna go to college?
You know what? Let's just back up though. Say who you are and what we're doing and go from there. Go ahead. So I mean, again, people are listening. They might say,
This is one of the coolest programs we have in Brown County, Door County. And the executive director is here, and tell us about, and the name of the program now, it used to be, Johnny keeps saying it's Scholarships Inc., but that's been changed like 4 or 5 years ago to College Ready, which makes even more sense.
That's right.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. And we really changed that name to better describe what we're doing and our mission, because we're not just scholarships anymore. That's still a big part of what we do, like awarding almost $500,000 a year to about 200 local students.
Where do you get the money from?
You know, it's all private donations. It's all private donations. And endowments, and, you know, the people that have left a legacy that have passed on before us that we're still awarding scholarships, you know, in their name.
And what's disappointing, though? I just want to say one thing that's disappointing, Brent. You and I worked in TV together, okay? You could have had a career making $23,000 a year for life.
No, the reason you talk about Johnny, that's a good question, where does the money come from? But the reason he's here is we ran into each other at the Packer Foundation.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
You were awarded a grant from the Green Bay Packers because that's an impact grant, because they like to give money. And they must have a gazillion applications, right? They only gave out 10 of them or something. Was there 9 people there?
Yeah, we were there with about 10 other nonprofits that most of them Brown County, some Madison, some Milwaukee. But, you know, we were able to benefit from that for our college readiness programming. So they gave us a grant to help us expand that programming. We're working on expanding that, bringing that to more students. Right now we're serving just under 200 students annually in that program from 6th grade through 12th grade. We help them through college, them and their families, for 7 years.
6th grade?
Yeah, 6th grade.
Wow,
yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah, we really focus on, you know, the academics and
can I ask
and
you a question
things
then?
In middle school.
What are the three branches of government? Oh, Jim. It's okay.
He just wants to make you look good. He wants to make a donation.
Executive branch is one of them. I it know is. That.
Electoral?
No, it's not.
Not electoral?
He didn't even know that's Congress, Senate, right. Legislative.
Yeah.
All right. And then
Todd, jump in.
We got to move on.
Yeah, I heard you guys are going to do civics tests. So
we are. I might have to. The third branch, Sonia Sotomayor, is one of them.
Oh, yeah. Well, the Supreme Court, of
there
course.
There you go.
Yeah.
See, he didn't know that.
Oh,
He's
course.
Like, who the hell is she? What does she do? What restaurants does she own? So I'm like, no, John. Anyway, this college ready. So your money, that speaks a lot for the community. You're funded. This isn't government money. This is.
No, this is all private contributions that we raise over the course of the year, or again, like that have been given to us and endowed. And you know, we've got many community members that you know leave a legacy with us, and they want to have a scholarship in their name or someone else's name. You know, especially people that mean a lot to them in their sure. lives. We have a lot of service men and yeah. women that now have scholarships named after them that we're working with. Working with the Lavalette Foundation and kind of transferring some of those over to us. I know you guys were at our event last year and saw some of those.
I did the Benton Ettinger.
Yeah.
Who was great, great friend. Well, you know Randy. Oh, good friend. It's his stepson. Yep. And just a tragic story of how he died from Iraq. But we're carrying on his name at Green Bay West.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And his Rose, his mom Rose. I mean, what a
wonderful lady in the world, isn't she? The nicest human being.
And I could listen to her talk forever about her son and the stories that she tells. But that's the important thing: is they want that legacy to live on. They want other people to know about Ben, and especially those from West High that
I still think that whenever I drive past and I see with the sign, the you know, because that's where he used to run to prepare for the Marines for boot camp. And here's this young Green Bay kid who just wanted to serve his country. And it's heartbreaking. But with that being said, it's so great that young kids are getting money for college through his name.
Exactly.
And, that's what you guys do.
Yeah.
And they learn about him. Right?
It's
the scholarship that I give out, you know, that Matt Atkinson thing.
Same thing, yeah.
Thwarted off which could have been another Columbine here. It's unbelievable that what was happening that day. And that takes guts to step forward. You're in high school, you get picked on a little bit. And he's like, look, man, there's something bad happening here. And, you know, so I think that, and when kids get that scholarship, and this is like, the kind of scholarship says do the right thing. I think that's great when a kid gets it. And I hope they look into that a little bit more.
Exactly.
But yeah.
You're right.
What's your passion? We always like to ask, especially when I have musicians, where does a passion come from? And your type of job, this isn't just a, punch a time clock.
No, you're into it.
Yeah.
Well, no, I just like to help people. And how can I do that? And I'm not someone that can provide direct service. I've worked in nonprofit my entire career, except, for a few months or a few years at the television
station. And that was the nonprofit.
What was I like back in those days? I was a little
emotional. Oh, my gosh. McCarran, he was a hoot.
Yeah, me and Larry, man, we were a wild bunch, weren't we?
Man, yeah. And as an intern, college, high school student in there, you just kind of sat there and you were afraid of him. I was afraid
of him.
It's
kind of like I do now.
Those are crazy days.
Yeah, but then you came and you lightened the mood a little bit. So you made McCarran a little more bearable. Yes. But.
But you guys, you always have been in fundraising, but always for really great causes. You put on the John Meinl Classic Golf Tournament in the day for GB, but you've always had that passion. We ask that, with everybody, where does it come from? You just want to, I don't mean to sound corny, but you just want to help people, don't you?
Yeah, I just want to help others. And like I said, I can't be a counselor. I can't be a direct service person. So how can I help? I can try to bring people together, try to fund things, try to, continue to expand programs that are helping people in our community.
And let's be honest, Jim has probably paid, how much money do you think you've paid college fees? I mean, just pick a number.
Oh, college costs, yeah.
Yeah, blessed they're expensive, aren't they? Yeah.
It is, and thank God there's scholarships out there. I mean, it's because, some people need it more than others. And especially when you talk about these first-time students, they write it off because of finances right off the bat. It's like, don't do that. I mean, go find someone like you.
Yeah. Well, and that's what we're working on with those students in that after-school program, that college readiness program, them and their families. It's the process and the path to get to college is not an easy one.
No.
So you need help along the way, especially those that have never been there before.
Right, or their parents.
Or their parents. And so, so we've got that programming for the students, and then we have a parent programming. We're bringing the parents right along with us in that process because we know if we don't, the success rate's not going to be great.
Well, when we sat that night, when we were sitting there, when Jim was sweating on garlic, and we had the family, I mean, it was, I want to say it was was it Vietnamese, Jim, that we talked to afterwards that got one of the
one of our tables.
Vietnamese, and then another one was Somalia.
Yeah, they were kids. They were international kids, which I think,
which is so awesome.
And how nice for them to come here and get a scholarship. And
how appreciative.
Yeah, they were just, it was great.
Yeah, well, you're exactly right. And you know, our scholarships are need-based and merit-based. And so, you know, we work to make sure that those are actually a financial need, that we're not overfunding some student and those types of things. Because there are other options and other ways and other colleges that provide other, you know, financial aid. But this
Does it make a difference where they're going to school?
No, it doesn't. It can be technical college, so 2-year, 4-year, as long as it's in you know, the United States and it's accredited. It has to be an accredited college, and so we have a list of those.
We're big advocates of the 2-year technical community colleges. Yeah. Big advocates, because the amount of money that you pay for the exact same classes that you would pay at a Marquette or Wisconsin is so much smaller.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
That is the value such a great option. Greater. Yeah, it is a great option, and most of our students stay right here in the community. They go to NWTC, UW Green Bay, Bellin College.
Yeah.
A lot of them do go to NWTC and maybe they want that 2-year degree, or maybe they want the 4, but they're going to start in NWTC and they're going to go to UW Green Bay. And those two colleges work together so well.
Why do they?
We got a great partnership with them as well. So, you know,
that's cool.
But you got, if a D, we don't transfer D's. I teach at TC. We don't, if you get a D, you don't transfer. That's the incentive. I just take a little issue with a couple
of things. Does anybody ever fail your classes?
You know what?
No, he hasn't. He's never failed anybody, right?
But this is somebody
cheating.
No. Well, I had to do that. But this is the deal. I know if they're going to pass or not, like 4 weeks into the program. And so the letter goes out saying drop the class, because if you don't, you're going to get, and they drop the class. Because it's, if you haven't shown up and you haven't done any homework in 4 weeks, you're not into it. This isn't for you, and take it next semester and I'll help you then. But so they get a letter every week.
Sure.
But so no, I haven't failed anybody, but I've had people drop the class under my advice.
I still think I dropped a class quicker than anybody in collegiate history at Arizona State. Okay.
The guy's going through this is funny. He's going through the syllabus.
He's halfway through the syllabus. It's physics.
Explain the class.
Physics.
Oh, physics.
But it's like for people who are going to be high school teachers, you don't have to be a physics. You're not going to like split an atom or whatever. And he was halfway through the syllabus, and I get up and walked out. Is that the quickest anyone's ever dropped a class?
4 minutes into the class. So this is what we're going to do. And in week two, John's like, I'm out of here.
I'm out. Done. Out.
Oh, man. Well, you know, at least you knew yourself.
That's true. I'll give credit for that.
BS for a living. Brent Rubble, stick around. Back after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Hey, welcome back. Mono the Mayor here in a beautiful
beautiful Wednesday morning, 97.9 FM, WGBW, 98.3, 96.5 WISS, coming your way from Appleton and Oshkosh, and of course the Civic Media Amp, 62 in Green Bay, 64 in Appleton, 66 in Oshkosh, scattered... That might as just well be every day this summer. Potential scattered thunderstorms. High of 73. It is Beatles Day. It is Catfish Day. It is Goat Cheese Day, which is
great.
Color TV Day and Reserve. Todd, what do you mean by Army Reserve?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Wow, 432nd.
Your buddy.
Absolutely. God bless you folks out there. That's phenomenal. And my old girlfriend, Carly Simon, is 82 today.
Yeah. Does she know that?
Yeah. But if she only knew.
He's got the restraining order on his wall.
Her lawyer knows.
The song was about you, Jimmy.
That's right.
It was about you, John. Well, I, honest to God, Brent, you knew me back in the day when I was good looking, remember?
I'm not that old, John.
Wow. Yeah, there you go. Wow. Love it. I was going to say. That's, wow. There's an answer to that.
So good having you here, Brent.
That is,
wow.
Yes. Not that old. That is funny.
Come on.
I'm proud of Brent,
people.
Actually.
That's actually a good one. That's great.
Brent Rubel, yeah. Who I still, okay. So you and I was at Channel 5 when you were an intern. You said, yep, I thought you were a producer for some reason.
Yeah.
You seem like the quintessential young reporter type that would go interview the mayor. I mean, why did you not pursue that?
Well, I really wanted to do that. As a matter of fact, you may not remember this, but when I was in, I think I was in eighth grade, you were on Channel 11. You must have been just starting out.
Okay.
I had great hair.
Didn't I have phenomenal hair?
Oh, you had phenomenal hair. Yeah. Yeah. And anyhow, I love sports. I wanted to be in sports. I watched all the time. And back then it was just local TV. That was all you had.
There was no ESPN.
No. And somehow I found out it was your birthday. They must have said it on the air. And so I sent you a birthday card when I was in eighth grade, and I called you the David Letterman of sportscasters.
Wow!
That's a huge compliment.
That is the ultimate suck up. But hey,
Jim,
did you hire the guy?
I got an idea.
Did you hire the kid? No.
That's awesome. Thank you for that.
That is really nice of you to do.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm surprised I didn't.
But no, I did want to get into sports casting. But then I found out about the hours and the pay, and
it was a little worse
than nonprofit. You know,
Bill Jarts and I talked when we had Billy on here about 3 weeks or so ago, and we talked about doing sports back because it was only a 2-person department. Now they have like 5 people. It was 12 hours almost every single day.
Yeah,
you know,
it really
was. I mean, it was a grind, but. Yeah. But there was a certain mystique, but it's like, I remember, I can't think of his name. The sportscasters that came in, Bob.
Bob Schultz?
Bob Schultz.
Yep.
That was a great
like when
guy.
I was growing up and watching him, it's like, I looked at him the same way kids now would look at, you know, not Chris Berman, he's beyond, but you know what I mean? That was the local sportscasters. Yeah. You really held them in high esteem.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And there was a good guy.
Oh, right? Bob Schultz?
Everything about him was great. Yep. So, but what, the transition, though, was it the money thing, or did you find a nonprofit, or did somebody say to you, hey, look, man, there's, because you, got well, the, I was going to say, you got the looks, you got the vocabulary to do a TV thing.
Yeah.
I would think.
I got the looks for radio, probably, but.
Hey, don't push it.
So I interned at Channel 5, and then I stayed working there, but only on the weekends, and then my day job was at United Way, working for a nonprofit. So I was working the week and the days at United Way, and I was working the nights and the weekends at Channel 5, and, you know, you just got to make a decision at that point, and so I decided that I, you know, nonprofit was for me, and you know at that point, you know that was the right thing.
What you've done for people is incredible.
Yeah, this is kind of a cool job though, and the nonprofit. I mean, like United Way has a lane. You know, mm-hmm. I work in the homeless. Yep. We got a lane.
Yep.
You kind of see it all though. With you know what I mean, you, different students, different areas. I mean, do you read? I mean, how many applications do you look at to give out 200 awards?
What
do you?
Yeah, well, we get about 300 applications a year, and
then we
award. Yeah, I mean, the students that actually complete the whole process. You know, yeah.
Right?
We've got a lot that started that don't finish it, but you know, that's part of the weeding out too, because we've got about 95% of our students that get a scholarship the first year come back for their second year of funding.
Okay.
So that's a pretty good return rate. We want to make sure those donors' dollars are best spent, because we know about 70 74% of most college freshmen come back for their second
year. Who are
some
of your big sponsors?
Well, who are our big sponsors right now? You know, Schneider National has always been, the Schneider Foundation has always been there for
Packaging's
us.
Packaging's been good to you.
Yeah, Green Bay Packaging, the Crest Foundation.
Yeah, that's what we talked to at the party.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, they do so much for the community, but thank God we have those businesses here, Schneider, Schreiber, I'm sure Schreiber's on your list too.
Yeah, exactly. And then a lot of private, donors and individuals.
That's awesome. And, well, Brent, I just think it's so cool with what you do, and you help so many young kids. But like when Jim and I were at that thing, I mean, so many of these people, they weren't, I give Todd a hard time. He's like the most Wisconsin person ever, German beer drinking kind of,
in the morning,
farm boy type thing. And what you guys have done, like that day we were there, so many of these people are new to Green Bay. Like I said, they were from Somalia and Kenya.
Right.
And all these places, what you're doing for them to make them feel welcome in this community.
Right. Confident you want them to stay. I mean, you give out the money, like you said. I mean, one of the, not the overdriving, but you want them to stay here. And we want them to stay here.
It's
maybe
an investment in our community. Right. Because most of these students are staying in this community, going to school locally, and they're going to be our future leaders, our future teachers.
Yeah. This is great. If somebody wants to just send a check to the college readiness.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the easiest way is just to go to our website, collegereadywi.org.
Okay.
They can find out all the information they need right there.
All right. Awesome. And you've obviously been around since 62, but you've also, I think the Packers picked the right organizations too. So, I mean, that's a feather in your cap, a vetted thing that they, because they, how many applications do they get, right?
Yeah.
And they only pick 9 or 10. Exactly. So, that's congratulations again on that.
Thank you.
Brent Rubel, thank you for what you do, my friend. Give yourself one more quick plug. College Ready.
All right. Yep, College Ready. If you're interested in donating, supporting a scholarship, please join us.
All right.
You're the man. We're going to start a quick break. Back after us.
Want to see the action live? Watch Mino and the Mayor streaming weekday mornings on Facebook Live. Search for Mino and the Mayor or WISS or WGBW. Jump in, leave a comment, and be a part of the conversation. Now, back to Mino and the Mayor. Here's John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Got a nice little comment here. Our great friend Mark Hewson. Happy birthday to the whole crew. Today is our 2-year anniversary. You all deserve the accolades. I see Todd had to come back from vacation just to make sure you got through this day.
That is true.
Mark Hewson.
That is true.
Hey, you know what? I will say this. I will say this. Our man, Convoy, you know what we did for him, Todd? We bought him a free 18 holes of golf.
Did you really?
With a cart.
Why?
Just for getting up early. And coming in.
He is not an early bird.
He's not an early bird.
I heard he was eating eggs and watermelon.
Yeah,
in his car
isn't
morning.
That bizarre?
We got here, and he wasn't here.
Eggs and
God.
Watermelon. Would you do that later?
We're calling him, and thank God he ate it out there, not in here.
I mean,
anyway,
if you're that hungry, sure.
Well, we called him and said, hey, look, dude, the show goes on in 15 minutes. He goes, I'm sitting out in my car right in the front eating eggs and watermelon. We're like, okay, stay out there.
We're with Leah and Adam from Hyde Music. You got something you want to announce?
I just want
to,
speaking of music, right? And these guys are big fans of Kevin Van Ness. Who isn't, right?
We love him.
Right. But he was playing a concert in Jackson Square, and he'd been on here talking about it. But just, Hi, Mayor Downtown, they're rescheduling the lunchtime jazz in Jackson Square, which was going to happen for tomorrow. It's going to be happening on Tuesday, July 29th from 11 to 1. That's a great place right here on Monroe, Jackson Square, due to 95% chance of rain tomorrow. So anyway, please mention this on your radio show. Thanks for all you do. So Kevin Van Ness, talk of the town, he's got to be one of the more talented musicians that I know personally. Of course, you guys know everybody because you're with Hyde Music and you've been around since the 60s. And
The 40s.
Oh, that's the 40s?
1948.
Really?
Wow, yeah. Okay.
Wow.
77 years.
Yes.
Wow.
4 generations. Now, I'm right on that.
Well, Todd is the 3rd generation. They have kids, so yes, 4th generation, technically.
Yeah. And I just want to thank you before we get into what you're doing now. We were invited to attend the symphony at the airport, and song was on our show, and we went out and played. And I just thought that was the 2 hours before was kind of, you can look at some airplanes, you can do whatever you want. They had some games there. But Hyde had 3 or 4 tables set up just to let kids, it was the day of music, Saturday. And I couldn't believe the number of kids that went and tried instruments. And because you see the instruments and, you know, you might have a favorite, but from violins to the sax to everything. So that was cool that you guys do that. You sure are into the community.
We love it. And it's called an instrument petting zoo is what we call it. So,
okay. So, well, yeah, introduce yourself and your guests just so people know who you are. Because, I mean, you're so familiar for us, but yeah, go ahead and introduce right.
That's
yourself.
True.
Everybody knows who I am, right?
Yes.
So, my name's Leah Reed. I am the director of marketing and e-commerce at Hive Music. And with me today is Adam LaGrape, who is the manager of Band Repair. So, he takes care of all of the repair techs at Hive Music and leads them. And they do quite amazing things.
I had no idea until you told us during the break. How many instruments get damaged or whatever?
Just going to ask you, do you ever get a damaged instrument?
Every day, yeah.
Right?
And right now is our busiest time, too. So there's literally thousands in our queue right now to get fixed.
Wow.
So.
And these... And they're damaged by the kids, I take it.
Yeah, I mean,
because they don't know.
It sounds very nefarious, but it's by accident or just wear and tear. And
or they don't know. What if I... And I move this and it snaps off?
And I like to make it like the analogy of like an oil change in a car, too. Things just get wore out. You got to get it in for adjustments and to get fixed and things like that. So bringing it in yearly, your instruments, your trumpet, your clarinet, saxophone, all those things, just to get checked over by a professional is a really good thing to keep it going. Because last thing I want as a tech, and I'm sure as a music company and any parent out there, too, and just as a player, is especially for beginners, is if they're trying to learn music and become a part of that family as a musician and they're fighting the instrument, that's the worst thing ever because they think it's them. And we don't want that. We want to remove any roadblock on their journey to becoming a musician.
So. I have a story where it was the instrument. Mm-hmm. It was a French horn that had a hole in it, and the kid just thought they were, and then the French horn's hard to play anyway.
Right.
And then to have a faulty instrument, it's like they didn't have the confidence and they gave up, and it's like really, you know what I mean? So that's really nice. So you encourage people to bring in their instrument like for an annual checkup, like we do for our cars.
Absolutely, yeah. At least once a year. If you play more, you might need to bring it in more because it's just again, if you drive your car 1,000 miles a day or something, you got to bring it in more for.
And instruments aren't cheap.
No, absolutely not.
I mean,
what is the number one instrument that needs the most repairs?
Oh boy, that's a good question. It depends on who's the most clumsiest that year, I guess. it really depends. The gamut. Yeah, I've got them all on my bench right now.
What is the most common instrument? Is trumpet? Is that what most?
It's funny you say that because when we do like our, so Hive Music rents out instruments too. Oh, yeah. So we provide that service to our community. And every year it shifts. So our rental needs shifts where we might have a ton of flute players this year. So we have to accommodate that. And then all of a sudden we get a ton of trombone players. So it's interesting to see that ebb and flow.
I wonder what that's tied to, like Jethro Tull or whether it's, you know what I mean? Like if they
someone big coming
someone
up
big or someone come in and they see that. Because that happens. That happens in fashion a lot, right? Mm-hmm. It's like so-and-so's wearing this or their hairstyle is this, and that changes the industry.
What's the cool factor?
Well, I wonder if that's what it is. I don't know, but that surprises me a little bit. I would think that you would say, oh, my God, it's trumpet year after year after year, but it's not. That's
it's
cool.
Not,
I think that's good.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's great. And it keeps the bands diverse, too.
Right.
You know?
And we were talking with somebody in here from your organization. It's not uncommon to switch an instrument either.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Correct. Like you may start at the sax and then move to trombone, but he goes, usually to get down to percussion, it's your fourth choice. But anyway.
hey, I'm a percussionist. Come on. Oh,
okay,
yeah.
Well,
I got put there just because I couldn't play anything else.
Okay, I'm just going to throw some. You always say that. Is that a drum? When you say percussion, does that mean drums?
Well, it's drums, xylophone, it's cymbals.
Okay, because Todd plays something. Right. Todd, what's the name of your...
See?
There you go.
He had it ready to
This is so... It. Hey, Todd, did you even know this? When we had Shelly in here last week, 2 weeks, when you were on vacation.
Yeah. I was here when Shelly was here.
But there's some... No, you weren't here for one of the days, and they said, man, if we only had our...
A fibrous lap.
Yes. Right. Remember that, Jim?
Right. Yes.
One of our musicians, they're like, we've got one. They're like, no, you don't.
And we're like,
yeah, we do.
It's like, let's make a deal.
Do
you have a hard-boiled egg? Yeah, we had
a vibrator.
They couldn't believe it.
Not a vibrator.
It was Kevin.
Not a vibrator.
Yeah, Kevin Van Ness. That's what it was.
It was vibrous lap, not vibrator.
Yeah, John, just...
Because if you've got one of those here, we've got an HR
problem. Every time
we're
here,
all right.
there's you miss.
But it was so bizarre. I had never heard that term before in my life, and he brought that up, and then we're like, We do have one.
It's like you do not.
You're not going to believe this.
So these, you are the Mr. Repair. You got to have more than just you there.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So we got a full team of repair techs. We have both a band repair department and orchestra and a guitar luthier. So on the band side, that's where my life is on the band side. We have 12 other repair techs.
Really?
And we have a bunch of different locations, and we have techs in them. So we have a lot of experience to provide the gamut of repairs that come in through our shop.
So you start your kit at... really not the most expensive instrument, let's say a violin, but then you get up there and they're super expensive. Mm-hmm. Do you have insurance for something? Like if a kid would really drop
how
it out
of... How
much
is a violin?
Well, it's
it really
like,
depends.
It's really like how long is a rope? I mean, those quarter violins aren't that expensive, but you get up to those full-size violins, that's in the thousands. I mean, it's expensive.
Seriously?
So if you rent with us, we do have an instrument replacement program that's only, I think it's $3 a month when you're doing the regular student rentals or beginner rentals. That will help with that. And we don't even have to go through your insurance company. So a lot of the times when people are saying that they have insurance on your instrument, you have to go through the insurance company, and then there's all of that, right? So we just have the instrument replacement program that takes care of any issues.
$3.
So how much would a violin, like a really high, what's the one?
We have one for the Stratosphere one.
Yeah,
the Stratosphere one. That's like Sotomayor.
Yeah. The Stradivarius. Yes. I don't believe we have that one here.
I don't.
How much would that be though?
I mean, I think it went at auction for a crazy amount of money. But we've had some in our store for like $10,000 to $12,000.
$12,000.
That was a vintage one that was in impeccable condition. So,
Wow.
Yeah.
But usually they're, depends.
Okay.
A couple thousand.
What's the Okay. So I never played an instrument. I always wanted to be a drummer. I know.
Yeah, I know what.
I went to a stupid little
say it ain't so.
But what would be when you guys? This is your lives. Mm-hmm. If somebody, a young kid, what would you want them to start playing? Just to get that experience of playing an instrument.
I have my opinion.
I think if they go at something too hard, they lose interest, correct?
But, okay, I think we all have the same instrument that you would start with. You tell me yours.
I know, piano.
Me too.
Yeah, piano.
Totally.
All day.
Because it's really everything when you think about
the
it. And then you want to read bass, treble, and all that, and then you can get into your... But the coolest instrument... I think, you have to ask a kid, but saxophone, but that's hard to play. But when you really know it, that's an awesome, awesome instrument, I think.
I mean, it's a really cool instrument. And on a repair side, it's a really cool instrument to fix, too.
Right.
It looks really cool, too. So I stream repairs, too, on the Hyde Music YouTube.
Oh, wow.
So every Thursday.
Good segue.
Thank you. From 8:30 to 10, I stream live repairs, what I'm working on the bench. And usually my most active is the saxophone, and usually I'm taking them completely apart. So you can see a saxophone, and I think, I'm going to get this number wrong, and I'm going to get razzed by my team, but I believe there's over 450 individual parts of a saxophone.
Yeah. That's why you don't fix it yourself.
No.
Yeah, please don't try to fix that yourself.
Or you put
imagine losing one of those. You put it back together in the IKEA extra
screws. How is that possible?
Yeah,
how is that 400 parts?
Well, every little button, every little tab.
Absolutely. All the screws come off.
There's a lot of parts. I wouldn't have guessed that many.
You need to tell us again where and when can we watch this thing? This sounds pretty fascinating.
Cool. So it's over on the Hyde Music YouTube, which is youtube.com/Hyde Music.
You bet.
Nice, I got it right.
You did it.
It's 8:30 to 10 a.m. standard time every Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. That is.
Yeah.
And Adam is extremely entertaining.
I
will tell you,
I'm
when
silly
he's
and wacky,
like,
but...
yes.
That's cool.
And I giggle the whole time. Like, maybe sometimes you can hear me laughing from like upstairs in Green Bay, but he does make me laugh.
That's awesome.
Like, to keep somebody's attention for 90 minutes repairing something. He does it very well and really explains what he's doing.
Yeah.
How do you get started in this? How does a person become a aficionado on doing something like this?
There's a couple different avenues. There's a couple repair schools out there. There's four, I believe, right now. But there's also different things that you can do. Like I do have an apprentice that does join me on the stream, Molly. We have the Molly Minute.
It's true.
Where she just kind of explains what she's learning and things like that. So she just decided she wanted to start repair, got in contact with us, and she had an affinity for it. So she joined up, and she's been learning under me.
I had no idea this even existed.
Yeah, yeah. It's really interesting.
You know what I mean? I mean, your interview, but it's like, wow.
It is. It's great to have. And it can.
I didn't know they would break down that much musical instruments. Yeah.
Some of it, though, is kids are breaking it. They don't really. Instruments are pretty.
Yeah, but, like they wear down, and like I said, the oil change. But also, love kids. I have kids, but boy, do they find creative ways to fix and break things.
And so, a lot of them, you know what? They're 11, 12. When they're first starting, right, and they just curiosity, if nothing else, does this bend this far? Well, yeah, you broke it.
It does bend that far. Yeah, it's not supposed to.
Is there value in old musical instruments?
There can be, absolutely. Okay. Yeah, sometimes not. You know, and then that's a conversation where it's just. You know, we'll talk about that and see.
All right, we got another segment. This is cool.
It's interesting stuff.
Yeah, I played the Viper Slap.
Yeah.
Did you hear it?
It's great.
Quick break. Back with more right after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Now, there's perfect music. That's the difference between Todd and our intern. That's the difference between.
But remember, you said Conrad was better than me this morning.
I didn't say better.
Yeah, he did.
He did, Jim. Didn't
go
he?
To the tape.
Yep.
Yep. See, that's the problem with radio, Johnny. We got you.
What music
you on tape.
Did he play?
Huh?
What did Conrad play?
I heard that he didn't do Trucker Thursday.
Well, he didn't know who Sly and the Family Stone were, even though he played their music.
He said it's Trucker Thursday, but then he didn't play Trucker music.
Right.
But he kind of like thought he was doing
his
job.
He tried.
We didn't. Sometimes trying isn't
we gave him a C- for effort.
Leah Reed and Adam LeGrave from Hyde Music. This is fun stuff. First of all, I'm shocked that there are 427 parts in a saxophone that you told me about. But Leah, talk a little bit about, you know, we've talked so much about, you know, kids getting involved with music.
Yeah.
And you guys, since 1948, is that what you said?
It's true.
Have brought music to so many families. It's incredible. And you still do. Can you explain that mission?
Right. So that is our main goal, is to get instruments into the hands of everybody, starting with kids. So we really support musical education and teachers in all of our communities. And we started in 1948. Duke was the name of their grandpa that started it. And he was actually in the Army band.
Wow.
Yeah. So it started in the military. And then he started with like renting instruments to people, starting music programs.
I just want to say something. Mm-hmm. That is so competitive. When I've talked to guys like my World War II veterans and everything, that was so competitive to get a part in those military bands. Mm-hmm. That was a very prestigious thing.
And then he came back to Wisconsin and started music programs all over the state.
Wow.
Like, he helped them start by getting them instruments and getting it into the hands of kids. And so that is our legacy as a company, is school music. So we are so supportive of that with our rentals, again, making sure that we have enough techs to get our instruments to the place where kids can play them efficiently, fluently, and then there's no problems with them, and they can just practice and get into it.
What about someone who maybe has worked their whole life and they're 55, 60 and wants to pick up an instrument? Is that something that happens? Is that doable?
It is.
Is there a track? Yeah. Okay, let's
really? Go.
Yeah, we see that a lot. So especially with like...
Get a saxophone, Jet.
Yeah, let's go.
They looked at me. They both looked right at me.
So New Horizons is a band in Appleton where you can start on an instrument as an adult. Wow. And they will help you with that. You play shows and... It's an amazing program, and we actually partner with them quite a bit. So look up their information online. That's a good way to start with like band and orchestra or going to Uke Jam, something like that. Just put yourself out there.
And like we mentioned during the break, I know a lot of Guitar for Heroes has become a huge thing for men and women dealing with post-traumatic stress, where that's a great therapy for them.
Music is a great therapy for everybody. You don't have to be a professional musician to play an instrument. Mm-hmm. You don't have to make it your job. You don't have to make it your livelihood. You can just enjoy playing music.
And I think people think of music, and you know, we talked about saxophone, trumpet, but I mean, there's some other cool, like harmonica. I mean, that's mm-hmm. that's a cool instrument, and things that you can learn. They teach it over at ADRC, which is the Aging mm-hmm. Disability yeah. Resource Center, and they have a harmonica class, and it's just very cool to go to that and listen to them. And, and they're pretty accomplished after yeah. 6-7 weeks of lessons. So
I want to play the blues with them. Wouldn't that be fun?
By the way, we got a text here. I would love to have learned how to play the pedal steel guitar. Does anybody in Green Bay teach that instrument?
So I would recommend going to HideMusic.com and looking under lessons in Green Bay.
Okay.
We have a lot of teachers, so it's kind of hard for us to keep up with who does what. I know we do have guitar teachers.
Several
guitar teachers in Green Bay. So,
but steel guitar, that's Ricky Nelson, right? Stone Canyon Band. Didn't they have, were big on that?
I'm
wrong on that. I thought that guy played it. I thought he was pretty good. Maybe not. Anyway.
Trying to think of a steel guitar person that I know.
I think I'm kind of like Conway
like
Twitty.
Like I said, I'm just a drummer. Just
percussion, percussion. Okay. But give that website again, because I think you have everything. Mm-hmm. I don't think you do. I know you do.
HideMusic.com is a great resource for all musicians in the state of Wisconsin and beyond.
Yeah, and you have locations all
over. We have five locations: Stevens Point, Madison, Green Bay, Oshkosh, and Appleton.
Tell me more about the founder who came back from the war. Is that right?
Yeah. So Duke Hyde, we do have that in our About Us section. I probably have to update it. That's my job. Whoops. But I didn't just tell everybody that on the radio, did I? So it's Duke Hyde. He was in the military, and he came back and brought music to all of Wisconsin. So it's such an amazing legacy, and I'm proud to be a part of this company.
Absolutely. I've got one of my books, Gentleman is 101st Airborne mm-hmm. on D-Day, parachuted into Normandy, the whole thing. And he was then he became a music teacher in the area. And he was so proud of being in the 101st Airborne. I mean, it's like, oh my God, that's amazing. You're a paratrooper. He goes, but I'm so proud of being in that band. He said, we took so much pride in that. Mm-hmm. And competition between the other military branches was incredible.
Mm-hmm. Music's a great doorway to so many different opportunities for kids and adults. So, yeah, but I would say our repair stream, I'm going to go back to that a little bit.
I want to watch this.
You should on Thursday mornings between 8:30 and 10:00 on our YouTube channel, YouTube/HideMusic.
Todd, you got to remind us of this.
I will.
And sometimes music, we think of guitars, but we've had a Big Mouth on here. And mm-hmm. they've got that brass that they play there. And mm-hmm. a couple of those guys are music teachers too. Oh, yeah. And they just talk about a love for music. And mm-hmm. they have full-time jobs, right? But boy, when they're on stage,
they love it.
Yeah. I mean, those guys, that's high energy. And it's just more than guitars.
Lee, I feel like you enjoy your job more than anybody I know.
I love my job. I love working for Hyde Music. We're actually hiring in Green Bay.
What are you hiring for?
So it's a band and orchestra sales specialist. So if you play any band.
Okay. Yeah. But I think.
What? You don't want to?
I'd love to. I don't think we're skilled.
But if you need it delivered.
Yeah.
And it's a flute.
My back.
Wow.
Anyway,
noted.
Let me get the hell out of here.
But no.
But back to Duke's mission, really bringing music to the youth and to the community is
awesome.
That's great. Love it. And thanks for repairing those instruments so we have to spend a fortune.
Adam LaGrave, Hyde Music. You guys are so much fun just to have on our show. We really appreciate it.
We'll see you next week.
Absolutely. Good. Quick break. Back up.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.